It's not every day that top executives of a JSE-listed company get their salaries cut. But sugar producer Tongaat has done the unusual. The sugar producer, which reported a loss of over 1 billion rand this year, cut the pay of its top three executives, listening to concerns of its shareholders around value creation. But we discussed the not-so-sweet pay deal for Tongaat executives with Tracy Davis, the executive director at Just Share. Tracy, thanks so much for your time. This has been described as unusual. Executives being held to account for not creating value, as it were. Do you think in Tongaat's case it was forced, or was it executives themselves doing the right thing?
Hi, Fifi. Nice to speak to you. Well, I mean, I guess the first thing I would say is that it's quite, you know, it's just so interesting how we think of this issue. You know, you described the pay packages as the not-so-sweet package as a result of these cuts. The CEO still got paid 10 million rand, you know, so we're not talking hardship here.
But just for context, if I can just jump in, it's 10 million as opposed to the 25.4 million that he earned in 2020. So I think context is important, but I agree with you.
It is. And the reason I raise that is just because it's illustrative of how these kind of stratospheric numbers have become the norm for us when talking about executive pay in South Africa. But to go back to your question, I mean, I think that it does look like the Remuneration Committee has taken the shareholders' concerns into account. You know, shareholders raise concerns about executive pay at very many companies that almost hardly ever results in a significant drop in pay in the following pay period. But you could also argue on the other side of the coin that the turnaround incentives that the executives were paid last year were excessive in the circumstances, you know, and that as a result, there was really strong backlash and strong pressure. And of course, Tongaat has also, you know, declared a huge losses in the last financial year.
In terms of what has happened, though, I'm just wondering how many other remuneration committees of listed companies on the JSE that also have pressure from their shareholders to hold executives to account for not delivering the desired value. How many of them would be looking at this and thinking that this is what we should also do? What are your expectations here?
Interesting question. I think that what is particularly interesting about this case is that, you know, we hear from almost every company that experiences a challenge around executive remuneration, we hear that we have to pay these CEOs more and more and more every year because they're so in demand all over the world. They will leave South Africa. They will leave the company if we don't continue to, you know, to pay them these enormous salaries. This has now gone completely against that argument, you know, and yet Tongaat is still saying in its reports that it has managed to retain its top talent and it's happy and satisfied with that. So what I think will be very interesting is how this particular example plays out in terms of, you know, that excuse that I think shareholders are far too happy and that they accept far too easily. You know, we've not seen any evidence of this flight risk. You know, where are all these executives that are going overseas? In fact, what seems to be happening is foreign executives are being attracted to South Africa by these huge levels of remuneration. You know, so I think it will be making remuneration committees nervous. Whether they'll be thinking, oh, we should do the same thing, well, obviously, that's yet to be seen.
Which actually leads me to my next question about what happens for those companies that are doing well in this environment in South Africa, whereby you've got this frighteningly high inequality rate that has been made worse by the pandemic. Do you expect to see the kind of large sums of money that some of these executives have received continuing? And would it be justified in this environment?
Well, we've actually seen in South Africa and across the world dramatically increased levels of remuneration post the pandemic. Well, I suppose we're not post the pandemic, of course, but in the wake of particularly last year's lockdowns. And most companies are justifying those increases by saying, you know, our executives managed the pandemic in an exemplary fashion and they need to be rewarded for that. Now, of course, steering, you know, a big company through a global pandemic, through difficult times nationally is an extremely hard job. And the people who do it should be extremely well remunerated. However, they are employed in those positions and paid the very high salaries they are paid to begin with, on the basis that they have the skills to navigate difficult times, right? So to then use difficult times as an excuse to ramp up that pay even more is very problematic. And also, as you mentioned, in the context of South Africa, with our globally, you know, stratospheric levels of inequality, what most people don't realize is that it's the wage gap, that wage inequality, that fuels all the other kind of inequality more than anything else. And over the past 15 years, the top 5% of earners in South Africa have seen huge increases in pay, and the bottom 95% have seen hardly any. And that is exactly the kind of thing that intensifies and deepens inequality in our society. And what happens then? We have a more precarious society, and we're seeing all around us all the time that the impacts of that precarious society, where people are so angry about that extreme inequality, is that they turn to populist causes, which then poses a threat to democracy. So yeah. This is not just about some people complaining about high salaries. This issue is core to our country's ability to tackle inequality.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it will be interesting to see, you know, how many other companies follow suit here, but certainly we can't continue doing nothing about the situation, lest we want to see a repeat of the pictures that we witnessed in recent weeks. But Tracy, we'll leave it there. That was Tracy Davis, the Executive Director of Just Share. Just a quick one for your understanding of the severity of the pay cuts. So the CEO, Gavin Hudson, had his pay cut to 9.1 million from 25.4 million last year. The CFO Rob Aitken's pay was cut to 6.6 million, and that is from 15.3 million last year. And also the executive director Dan Morokane's pay was reduced to 6.7 million from 16.7 million last year. So they're still taking home quite a lot of millions, but not as many millions as they did last year.